Hello and welcome to episode 527 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's plus an honorary M. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me online everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Honorary M?
Hello, I'm Mark Johnson, and you can find me at Mark Likes Movies.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. It's very nice to see everybody here together. Welcome back from Middleburg.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys had a good time.
Yeah. It's a great time. Yeah, Middleburg's very nice.
The pause. Well, we have to investigate the pause.
It wasn't the same without Clarence, of course, but it was a fun time. And very laid back, small, pre-American Revolutionary War town, and so it's very quaint and yeah, good time. What do you think, Joey?
Yeah, the Airbnb where we were staying, when we drove into town, it was like 10 minutes away, and we drove into town and we kept passing this like low fence that looks like it's just made of, I mean, it is, it's made of rocks, but Mark pointed out, he was like, it looks like all the rocks are just like, the way that the structure stays up is how the rocks lean on each other. And every time we drove in, I was just like, I want to like park the car and just grab one tiny rock and see if the whole thing collapses. But then I realized, I think as Mark basically pointed out, like, it's probably, you know, a historic landmark, and I would just be a gigantic asshole and I would ruin a beautiful part of the city. So yeah, there goes Joey ruining everything.
Well, I want to hear all about the festival. And of course, Megan, you are covering SCAD, Savannah Film Festival, next week. So I want to hear what you're doing on this week's podcast. Sound good?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Joey, why don't you take it over? What's going on with Middleburg? Tell us all the dirt. Tell us all the stuff that we haven't heard online.
I can't do that on a recorded line. I'll never be able to go back. There was no dirt. I'm just making that up. So the opening night, we both got in there on Thursday. Mark got in there a little earlier than me. The opening night film was Jay Kelly. We had both seen that at Telluride. I originally was planning on seeing it, but then like we had dinner at the restaurant, so we didn't go to the film. But we got to the Salamander Theater. I don't know if that's what it's called. The theater in the Salamander, where the movie was playing, and we kept poking our heads in to see where they were. I think we were both interested in how the crowd was going to react to that, because Mark and I both really liked that movie. And as we were waiting, something that was really cool was Nina Gold, the casting director, was receiving a tribute award. She flew in from the UK just to get the award. I think Mark pointed out, like, this is really technically the first casting award of the season, the new, the new Oscar category. But there was a moment where I should have picked it up, but Netflix had these really cool posters that it was the cast of Jay Kelly. Netflix had a photo shoot for the cast where it was a bunch of little portraits of every single person that's in the ensemble on the same sort of photo shoot set with all of the actors' names above. There's probably like 25 or 30 people on this poster. And it says the cast of Jay Kelly on the top. And I think that was, number one, a really smart thing to do. Nina Gold is a legend. And the funny thing was, she came over, the posters were on a table next to like a jug of water where you can get water for yourself. And as she was getting water, Mark said, and I actually thought this was really charming, he was like, man, this cast, I wonder who put that together. And she was just like, she smiled and she was like very bemused, and she was just like, I don't know. She got her water and walked away. And then we went to the opening night party, which was pretty chill. We met Joel Edgerton. He just sort of walked it over to our table, and he was very nice. I made a really dorky comment about his his neckerchief. I love how I'm embarrassed by it, and I keep bringing it up. But he was going through like the program book, and he was like, "Want to see that? I want to see this movie. I want to see this movie." So that was the first day. So it felt like really laid back. I even made a comment to Mark when we went into town the next day to see. It was just an accident. I was like, and the first movie was at like 12:30. I was like, we haven't seen anything yet. Jackie Jump Jorp, the dog. So that was the first day I saw. It was just an accident. The first full day, I should say. And then Mark hopped over into If I Had Legs, I
Yeah,
think.
if I had legs, I'd kick you. Yep.
And I had an interview at that time. That whole schedule got a little messed up. And I had to do an interview. I interviewed Nina Haas from Hedda at that time. And then we met back up to watch Train Dreams, which we both really liked. And then what was the last movie we saw? Was there
That
another
was it.
movie? That was and
No, it
that
was just
was
that day.
it.
And that
So out
was
of
plenty.
and that was plenty. So that was those are like the first 2 days. I don't know if Mark, if you want to comment on any of those things.
Yeah, so I do want to add, and I do have my handy Middleburg, whatever this is, guide. I do want to say it was also Douglas Abel is the other casting director with
Oh,
me
yes, thank you.
that was being honored. I didn't want to leave him out. Sorry to fact check you there, but just
Oh,
wanted
that's
to make
fine.
sure we got him in there as well. Yeah, so Panini received an award. I forget what his award. Oh, it was the Impact Award for it was just an accident, to say. And he gave a really good speech at the end, had a translator there that I posted the video of it on Facebook if you're friends with me and you want to go
And
see
two of
it.
the two of the people who were prisoners with him in the prisoner in the prison where he was, they were in the
Yeah.
back of the audience, which is
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
cool.
Not cool, but I mean, I
Yeah.
feel weird saying that, but you know,
Not cool, but right. But it was, yeah,
bad
it added a
circumstances.
little
Yay, they're
vibe
here.
to it. Right. To receive an acting award as well for her, I think it was more than just her performance in If I Had Legs. I think it was for her career, but it was a tough watch. And there were a couple people that left early. I think, did you guys see that in Telluride, maybe, or TIFF?
I haven't seen it, but I heard today I was talking
Okay.
to a rep and she told me that it made her physically ill. And I'm like,
Yeah.
great.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
definitely it wasn't an easy watch for me, and I don't know that maybe I'm the intended audience, but that being said, we had somewhat similar of a film, just way more toned down a couple years ago or last year, I forget which the Night Bitch movie with Amy Adams.
Yeah, that was last year.
Similar kind of like Woman on the Edge. That was last year? Okay. Yeah, I can't keep the years straight anymore. Kind of similar in the sense of the woman on the edge of a nervous breakdown kind of theme, motherhood, the pressure she's under. And Rose Byrne is tremendous in it, but it was a little much for me. I struggle with anxiety, and that was very, I hate to use the word, but I've used it all
Because it
weekend
has
for
a
this movie,
woman in
trig.
it, because it has a woman.
Oh, no, stop it. No. Because she was terrific, but it was very triggering. My anxiety was going a little nuts through it. It was tough. It was like kind of like Uncut Gems, but I would almost say I can handle Uncut Gems. I love that film. This felt a little more nerve-wracking to me. So, but yeah, we both love Train Dreams. I think that was. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no,
More guesses on if I had
I
legs.
saw If I Had
Oh,
Legs
you didn't.
in,
Didn't see that with me.
well, I
Yeah.
saw it at TIFF.
Right.
I watched like the first 20
Right.
minutes
Right.
and then I walked out and I had
Okay.
forgotten. I know this is gonna sound horrible and I don't care, and I said it after the movie was over. But I was like, I want to punch her daughter in the face. I'm sorry. That little girl so she
A
the way like the first thing
little,
that I mean, she's a child, but like the
yeah.
character, I want to punch in the face. There's a part at the beginning where like there's water in the apartment. That's not a spoiler, it's in the trailer, but like she's sitting on the toilet and she's like dangling her feet in the water, and she's like, feels weird on my feet. Oh my God, are we gonna die? What's gonna happen? Blah 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 blah. And I'm sure that's how all little kids talk, but this is why I have a dog and a cat and not a child. Also, I would have to purchase one, but whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Aesop Rocky was in it as well, and I don't know if you guys have seen Highest to Lowest, but he's in both films, and he was pretty good, I thought,
That
in a smaller
Mr.
supporting role.
Rihanna? Rihanna?
I think so.
Mr.
Yes.
Rihanna?
Yes. Yeah, I think I don't
I've never
I'm
said
not very good at
Rihanna
that stuff, but
before. I
I
don't know
think
where
you're
that came
right.
from. I think it's
Yeah.
Rihanna's husband.
Oh, is that her husband is? Oh.
Yeah, I think so. So then, like Joey
Wow.
mentioned, we saw Train Dreams. We both loved Train Dreams. I'm not sure if you guys caught that in Telluride or TIFF, but very kind of fly on the wall kind of film, watching the life of this logman, I guess you would call him lumberman, in the early turn of the 20th century, laying the railroads, cutting down trees. But very, very beautifully shot. Kind of, I think Joey referred to it as like a Terrence Malick kind of film. Was that what you said, Joey? Maybe, because I
Yeah,
didn't
it's
dub
just
that.
that, like I heard somebody else kind of describe it. I sort of just adopted that
Okay.
because it just looks so
Yeah.
pretty. But it's like William H. Macy is in it. He's sort of like curmudgeonly and smoking a pipe the whole time. And I don't know, it sort of made me feel, I'm posting a review of it tomorrow, and it's like the thing that I kept thinking about, how all of these men who do this, they all talk about how the land is beautiful, and can you believe that we are here and this is what we get to see, and this is like, we're alive at the same time that we see all this natural beauty, and at the same time they're trying to progress the country in a way, and they have to like basically strike down some of the world's natural beauty to kind of progress at the same time. But I think it's really quiet, it's really meditative. There's a couple lines in it that I wrote down that I just think are super sad, and I don't know, very thoughtful. Carrie Condon is in it for a wee bit.
Heather
And now
Donahue.
I'm every time I see her, Rebecca Ferguson, I have to leave. It takes me about 12 seconds to realize who I'm looking at. But
Other
I
Yeah,
love that.
those
I
are
was really
looking.
taken aback by it. What?
Other
No, not no
dinosaurs?
dino.
The
No
dinosaurs?
dinosaurs.
I
No,
know
but
that
there
there
is one in there is
was
one in House of Dynamite though.
a.
It's
I've
really
seen
another
a.
one.
Wait, there was a dinosaur in House of Dynamite? I've seen that.
The little toy that the boy gives Rebecca
Oh,
Ferguson. I think it's
God.
a I think it's a
I was
little
like, did I
dinosaur.
miss they had a
Yeah.
flashback where
No,
they show the
no,
beginning of time? Not That would have
in
been
that one.
hilarious.
I would
No,
have
but there
loved that.
is. There is Brad Pitt in an F1 car zooming through the woods. There is
Right.
one of those at
Product
that event.
placement.
All right. A little Coke ad. So yeah, that was it for that first day, which was technically the second day.
So then Saturday started with we
Talk
went to
back to the
see
critics.
Talk Back for the Critics, thank you, with a lot of critics and writers from the DC area talking. Forgive me, I don't have any other names
I have
ready.
them if you do you
Thank
want
you.
them?
Sure.
Yeah. It's May, and I apologize for all the bad pronunciation here, but May Abdulbaki from Screen Rant, Jen Cheney from the New York Times, my boy Tim Gordon from Keeping It Real with Film Gordon, Roxana Hadadi from Vulture, Nell Minow from RogerEbert.com, and Travis Hobson from Punch Drunk Critics.
Yeah, and they talked a lot of thank you for that. There was they talked a lot about like unsung films that people should go back and like find, and then also anticipated films like at the festival. And then we had to leave a little early. Actually, the first thing that I forgot to mention was we did am I getting my days mixed up? The Wicked panel.
Probably. No, it's later.
Never mind.
Yeah,
Jesus.
you're good.
What
Yeah,
day
it
was
started
that?
with you were right. Secret we went over the Secret Agent after. It's a blur, right? I mean, these days are busy and there's a lot of things going on, so it all blurs together. I'm only remembering this because I'm looking at my recaps and I know the order it goes in.
Okay.
So yeah, so Secret Agent.
So yeah, we went to see The Secret Agent, Brazil's international entry starring Wagner Mora. And I think there's a lot of buzz around it. I think both Mark and I were a little
Lukewarm.
I would say that I was a little disappointed. I was really excited to see this because I missed it at Telluride, I missed it at TIFF. I need to see it again because I feel like originally I thought the structure was more broken and I would have to try and piece it together. When I realized, a little way into it that it was maybe a little bit more straightforward than that. But I think him in the lead role is really good. And I would love to see him get nominated, but I feel like that is a movie in the international race that is getting a little bit more of a mixed reaction. Some people really love it, and some people are like, eh, on it. So I don't know, Mark, if you want to add anything to that.
Do I just realized why you thought we went to see the Wicked sequence? That's because that was on Friday. I missed that as well when we were going through the films. So we started Friday off, day two of the festival, with the creative collaborators panel. That's with Wicked for Good, the director John M. Chu, cinematographer Alice Brooks, and editor Myron Kirstein. So that was Friday before we went and saw. It was just an accident, I think. So sorry.
That was a packed day. Okay.
Yeah, every day was packed.
Yeah. That panel I was really excited about. Jazz
Yeah.
Tanque moderated
Right.
it. She got John Chu to cry because Alice Brooks and John M. Chu are college friends, and when they worked on their first project together, it was a musical. And on the last day, John M. Chu gave everyone small golden music boxes that it plays When You Wish Upon a Star, I think. And she had it and she pulled it out and he started crying. And they showed a video of him interviewing her when they were in college, talking about collaborating on the first like movie, student movie together. So like Wicked, the story. I didn't know Alice Brooks and John M. Chu were friends like that go so far back. So they gave them an award
I also
and they
like
showed
how,
like a.
I was gonna say, just to jump in, I like how they were like, oh, we know that the lion is a famous actor in Hollywood that we're not gonna
Yeah.
say, and then immediately release that like today. Because
Yeah.
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 I was like,
That's.
who is it? I'm like, is it Nicolas Cage? Is it like,
Is it
and
Robert De
it,
Niro? Like who? Because they were
well,
like they played it up like everybody's gonna be excited. Wait till you see.
yeah, I
And
mean, I'm
Coleman's great,
excited.
but
Well, Domingo's great,
like,
but it wasn't like, Bette
yeah,
Midler or something
right.
campy
Daniel
and weird.
Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Like who knows?
Yeah, it was like,
I
it
was
was
like,
actually like,
okay,
okay, yeah, this tracks.
yeah,
This is cool.
that makes sense.
I saw people going through John M. Chu's like
Oh,
Instagram being like,
Bette
these are all the
Midler.
men. Was it Neglia? Where he was just like,
Yeah.
these are all the, I did not know it was him. It was like, these are
Yeah.
all the men that John M. Chu follows. I was like, wow, that is extensive research,
Yeah,
Mr.
big
Neglia.
time.
Wow, that's
The
impressive.
joke that's running around Twitter today is that they announced it so quickly because everybody was afraid that it would be James Corden. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
did wonder
I
about
saw
that
that.
too, and I was in the back of my mind, but I'm like, no, nobody would be excited. Everybody
I would punch somebody.
does
Yeah.
that.
Well,
That was the general consensus. Anyway, continue.
oh,
So the
thank
panel
God.
was good.
Yeah, great
Yeah.
panel. Good
Yeah, they
good
did.
panel
There,
selection.
we saw a lot of people going up to like Jazz after because we kept running into Jazz everywhere. She was everywhere. She did
She
so
was
much.
literally everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and she everyone kept telling her like what a great collective conversation it was. Even Susan, who was the woman, I think she presented part of it, and then the founder of the festival.
Sheila, yeah.
Yeah, Sheila even was saying that like everyone. Like that was one of the best things she's ever seen, I think. So that's good. That was beginning of
So that was
Friday.
Friday. Let's go back
That
to
was Friday.
Saturday now. Yeah.
So
So
then
back to
what
Saturday,
did
we saw Secret
yeah.
Agent followed by the concert
We went
celebration.
to the concert with Chris Bowers. which we sat in the second row. Thank you, Jazz. I love Chris Bauer so much. His parents were there. Sheila again was talking about how music is a big component to filmmaking, how it's the emotion of a lot of stories. And he played with like a big orchestra of people. I didn't even, as someone who's a huge fan of Chris Bowers, I was like, wow, he has so much music with violins. He l uses violins and strings so much in his music. So they played some from King Richard. I think they played a little from, it's not Oasis, that's not the title of the movie.
Origin.
Origin, thank you. A little bit from Green Book, and then the second section was, I think, entirely devoted to the Wild Robot, which the,
Yeah, that was
which
awesome.
I w that was really awesome. There's one continuous motif through that whole movie that kills me every time, and they played it at the end, and it was like I could feel my chin quivering. I was trying really hard. I was sitting next to the composer of Wake Up Dead Man. And I was like, I cannot cry after I talk to him about how I want to interview him for his movie. And I don't want to sit here and cry like a fucking idiot.
I'm sure he would have liked that.
Him
They
out
want
there.
they want to move us with their music. I'm
Yeah.
sure they love seeing that.
And then they played some from his new movie, which is a collaboration with Ben Proudfoot, two-time Oscar winner, called The Eyes of Ghana. It's a documentary which I still don't think has distribution, but it's nominated for score. Chris Bowers is nominated at the Critics' Choice Documentary Awards for score. And they showed a pretty extensive clip from the movie, and that music feels like sort of different than any other music that he's done, or that we, especially that we saw that day. And then Mark and I ran right after Jazz to go to Cocktails and Contenders. I don't know if Mark, if you want to say anything about that.
Yeah, and we didn't get to, right, at least I left early. Did you stay for the whole thing? Yeah, so I had to leave early. But the Cocktails and Contenders, one of my favorite parts of the festival, Clayton and Jazz, they do a little conversation basically about the state of the Oscar race, what studios have what, and what we can all expect. And they took questions. They ran a little trivia contest, which you could probably speak more to because I, had to leave for a House of Dynamite. But yeah, it was great. I wish I could have stayed longer and enjoyed it. But
Yeah, you just
you want
missed
to
the
talk anything more
trivia
about it?
section,
Yeah. Who
which was
won the trivia?
fun.
There was a trivia contest. Somebody won that?
Yes, a
Yeah. Okay.
gentleman. There were two guys, the guy next to me and a guy across the way. Plum forget his name, but he won the contest. There's a lot of like sort of Oscar historical trivia. So that was fun. But then we took like a big group picture. I wonder where that picture is, because I was standing in the back, and I don't know the photographer's name. She's there every year. She has big glasses.
Oh, she's the
I
best.
she's
Very sweet.
like really cool. And she was like, no, come down into the front. And I was like, why? She's like, you're little. And I was like,
You're
okay.
short,
And
buddy.
then I like when I crouched, when I got down, I basically like I sat down too fast, and I like smashed into like Clayton's leg. So there's probably a picture of him being like, ah, because I like crashed
Right.
into him somewhere. Whenever this
Gonna
picture's
need
there,
that photo. I'm
I
gonna.
know. You
That's gonna be a
blackmailed, like, look what you're doing to
get
Variety Treasure Clayton
on
Davis.
Getty's Images right now. Give me that photo.
Pretty much. But yeah, I don't know, Mark, if you want to talk about, I know House of Dynamite is a movie that we've all seen.
Yeah, we've all seen that now. And I think you guys are a little, maybe you liked it a little less maybe than I did, if I remember. But when you pair House of Dynamite with If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You back-to-back days, I basically needed my Xanax, which I left at home. Or at least a couple glasses of wine, because it is a nail biter. At least I thought it was very well edited and directed. A lot of great, it's a great ensemble. It's got Jason Clarke, Greta Lee, Idris Elba, Jared Harris, and of course Rebecca Ferguson, who we talked about earlier. The one complaint I did have about it, So let me just start by saying I have loved Volker. Obviously, his
Bertelmann.
last name Bertelmann. Bertelmann. Yeah, I've loved his work in past films like All Quiet on the Western Front and Conclave, two of my favorite scores of each one of those years. He scored Edward Berger's latest film, The Ballad of a Small Player, and we saw that at Telluride, and that score was way over the top and really took me out of the movie. It was really disappointing. And now in House of Dynamite, it really felt like he reused the entire score from Conclave. Like it sounded almost identical with the, well, I'm not going to imitate it, but like the harsh tone followed by the like plucked strings kind of thing. And that was a little disappointing. And it's probably a minor complaint because here's the thing: it worked really well with the film. But I just kept thinking, man, just this is the Conclave score. So small complaint for me, but I really did enjoy it. I thought it was a really interesting, like what if scenario kind of thing. And
What
so
was the reception like for that one in the theater at the end?
I don't know. I don't know that I paid too much attention to the reaction to that one. There were other films that I did. I don't remember it having like a rapturous applause. Only really one film kind of felt that way, which we'll talk about in a bit, at least of the ones that I saw. So I think the crowd was into it. It's kind of like, Hamnet, when we saw Hamnet, which we'll talk about, it didn't get a very rapturous applause either, because I think sometimes those movies kind of like silence you when you're just kind of like taking it in. And I think I kind of ran out of that one because we had one more film to see that night and I wanted to get in line. So I didn't stay for too many Q&As this time around because it did feel very packed, maybe more so than prior years. This is my fourth time coming to Middleburg. And the other three, I mean, we were always busy. A festival always is, but it was kind of like get up, get out, get to the next one. Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
The reason why I ask is because there's been a lot of discussion online about people's reactions to the end and kind of like,
Oh, there was. Yes.
yeah, there are
Now,
a
thank
lot
you.
of there are a lot
Jogged my
of
memory.
reactions to it. Mostly negative, so that's why I was wondering.
I did hear I less from the crowd reaction and more from talking to people or overhearing people in line for the next film, did hear complaints about that. I thought it was fine. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll just say
Right. Because
not
Gold Derby
everything,
did.
right,
It
not
did.
everything
Gold Derby
needs,
spoiled the hell out of it. Yeah.
oh,
Come
that's
on.
awful.
Well,
Not,
I
yeah,
asked
go ahead.
anyone, like, when they told me that they saw it, and the reaction wasn't as negative, I think, as some people maybe were anticipating. A lot of people were like, it was good. Like most people said it was good, and they just thought it was like good in terms of like fine. But I didn't hear anybody who was like, it sucked. It was so bad. But I think
Yeah,
everyone kind of
no.
acknowledged like, yeah, it was good. I may have liked to change this, this, or this. But I think that was just like C plus.
Yeah, that's what I gave it. So I
Okay.
agree with you. So after that, we went over to the masterpiece of this year, which was, go ahead, Joey. Do you remember?
Rental Family.
No, stop
No.
it.
It
Stop it.
was which we can talk about in a second, but Hamnet, I think everyone, anytime that movie was mentioned, everyone like upped the ante of what that movie was going to like do to you. It's gonna wreck you, obliterate you, you're gonna cry,
Like
bring your tissues.
South Park with the Scrotty McButter booger balls and like the book just keeps getting hyped up more and more, like,
Oh
like people are gonna be vomiting outside before
my
they see it.
God.
You
Ugh.
guys, we've all seen Hamnet, right? Telluride, we saw it. Yeah. Okay. So Joey and I liked it so much we wanted to see it again. And we also wanted to see the reaction of the crowd, I think, was the big
I
thing.
didn't think I was gonna stay for the whole thing. I wanted to see like
Okay.
what the mood was, and then I was gonna like leave. But I was so invested in it. And I feel like I appreciated even more what Chloe Zhao did. We saw Chloe Zhao a couple times after.
Did she do the breathing thing ahead of
Yeah, she did.
time?
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
cool. I
Yeah.
love that.
Yep. Yeah, I do too.
I think that I think she should just record it and put it in front of every screening like a stupid Coke commercial. That would be fine. I don't know. I had when it started, I noticed, and we were towards the back of the theater, but I was a little worried that some people felt a little like restless. There were some people behind me, like to the left, who at the beginning of the movie, they would not stop talking. And then someone shushed them, or they just shut up. And then the woman in front of me, I have a picture of the back of her head because I was worried I wasn't going to be able to see over it.
Oh.
For Train Dreams, the person in front of me was so tall that literally right when the lights went down, I like turned to Mark because I can't see. And I got up and I moved to the back of the theater.
Just left me all by myself.
Yes. One little train. And then, so the woman who was in front of me had the ricketiest chair I have ever heard. And it was literally like, and she would not stop moving. So deadly combination. She like literally
This is during
every
Hamnet.
during Hamnet.
Yeah.
So like the quietest, most introspective, patient movie you've probably seen in the last couple of years, if ever seen. There were it was like literally and it was just her adjusting because those chairs are uncomfortable. I get it.
No,
But
they're
I told
awful.
everyone when I was telling the story that the more annoying thing was the girl who was directly to her right just kept doing this.
Every time a Shakespeare line, like
Yeah.
they would quote a Shakespeare, she'd be like, "There's that one." It was just odd. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was
And then
odd.
she was on her phone. And then it was just, I think the response. At the end, because the end is one of the most emotional parts. I won't say what it is because people obviously haven't seen it yet, that are listening. But like, you could tell people were emotional, but the crowd felt a little different than when we all saw it at Telluride, and I'm sure that's a lot to do with, it's obviously not the same audience, but and they've this is a crowd who's probably heard over and over and over and over again how good it is. And it's not saying they had a negative reaction to it. Obviously not. It tied for the audience award at Middleburg. But I felt like I talked to like one or two people afterwards who said that it wasn't like something they expected, or they were like it was hyped up for them. But yeah. Mark, I don't know if you want to talk about how maybe the experience was different or anything for you.
No, and that's what I mentioned, like the reaction of the crowd was very muted, but I think people were just so absorbed that it wasn't a loud applause because you're just, it destroys you. And obviously we found out, like Joey mentioned, they enjoyed it because it won the audience prize with another film we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, it was a very muted response because I think people were recovering. So it was kind of hard to gauge other films because of that. So yeah, that basically wrapped up Saturday though. After that, we had the Saturday night party and drink some wine.
I don't know if people were just like super excited to go to the party, and it's not like I don't know if I was telling Mark this or someone else, but it was just like I think after last year it was Conclave, and everyone's like, "Ooh yeah, it's gossiping nuns and misbehaving priests. Let's get some
Yeah.
alcohol." And this is just like your child is dead.
Yeah. It
Have a
was an
drink.
odd choice for sure to put before the party. Like something a little more fun would have made more sense, I
Like,
think.
I wonder
So
if they should
maybe
have swapped
notes for
Hamnet
next
and
year.
J. Kelly.
Yeah. Or Rental Family, which we'll talk about in a second, and J. Kelly and Hamnet might have made sense too, because Rental Family is a little bit more of a upbeat, feel good kind of film.
Yeah.
But before that, on Sunday, the final day, we started with Is This Thing On? Bradley Cooper's third directorial feature. Do you want to talk about that? Oh, 'cause I'll just
Sure.
start crying. I love it.
It's a really good movie. I think I was a little, I don't want to say reluctant to like it, but it was just like, what is this movie? What is it? And I'm gonna say it all season. And the plot is basically the first episode of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And except it's about a dude instead of a lady. And I just was not expecting, and I had heard that it was more dramatic than people maybe were expecting, but that crowd that we saw it on Sunday, it was the only time it played, I think. They ate that movie up, like nibbles, nibbles. But it was it I don't know, it's sort of it went nibbles, nibbles. But I think it's really interesting that Bradley Cooper has now made three movies about different time periods, different types of performers, but they all are on stage. And it's not a movie about him trying to be a comic. It's a movie about him working through his feelings in a way that he doesn't know how to express them. And he like gets he instead of paying a cover at a bar, they're like, if you want to pay the $15 cover, if you don't want to do that, you can get up on stage and do like 2 or 3 minutes. And he does an open mic, and he realizes that getting on stage and talking about himself and about his problems is therapeutic for him. So it's not a movie about him necessarily pursuing comedy. It's about him trying to like unfuck his life. And it turns into like a marital drama and that I was not expecting. And I was worried that they were gonna like short shift Laura Dern, and they don't. And she has some really great stuff, and they have some really good scenes together. I think Clayton Davis likened it to like Marriage Story. But I don't know. I really
I
liked
mean,
it a lot.
yeah, I wouldn't compare it to Marriage Story, other than that it's about a couple separating,
Yeah,
point of
just the
origin,
basic
right?
outline, kind
Yeah,
of, yeah.
because one of those goes very dark, and the other one is more, it's this thing on was very life affirming, and I don't want to say too much more than that, so I'll just say, it's a very smart film. Laura Dern and Will Arnett had awesome chemistry together. I thought they were both terrific. Bradley Cooper has a small role in this one. But it is a scene-stealing role, and this is definitely one of my favorite films of the year so far.
I didn't know a lot of the people that were in it. Like Sean Hayes is in it. Didn't know that.
Yeah, right.
Sean Hayes is
Andre
real life
Dad.
husband. It plays his husband. I kind of wish they had more to do. There's
Oh,
some there.
nah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Is
there's some.
Jason Bateman in
Okay.
it? Is there a
No,
Shameless
I was
plot
waiting
twist?
for him to pop up. I really was
Oh my
because of
God, that
the
would have been
company they have.
awesome.
Well, their
Yeah.
Shameless is a podcast, and it's
Yeah.
also now what, crypto or something?
Yeah.
I don't
Right, right.
know. Yeah.
Right.
But like Andra Day is in it. Didn't know
Andra
that. She
Day.
has a really good part. She has a
Yeah.
lot of really great scenes. And
Yeah.
I was just
That's
like,
exciting. Good for
I feel like
her.
a lot of the time, not a lot of the time, but there are certain things that happen. I was like, what is this movie? But it was like in a good way. I was like, what is this movie doing? And it may be
Yeah.
because we haven't heard a lot about it, and it's only played one other festival. Maybe a couple more by now. And I was just like, we haven't heard a lot about it. And it really kind of took me by surprise. I thought I was going to be like, I'm not gonna like this. It's gonna be like a white dude finally founds a way to emote. And it kind of is that, but I didn't have a problem with it. I was really sort of like disarmed by it.
I like also how I said Andra
I do
Day,
think
like
that
she's not an Academy Award nominated
I
actor,
know.
but she's like
Andre.
most famous
No, it's just like she
for
hasn't done a lot of
we
like
haven't really
I'm
seen
glad
her
she's
much.
doing
Yeah.
stuff. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But like
I knew what you meant.
every time a new actor walked on stage, like Academy Award nominee on today,
Yeah.
I was just like, huh. Like, I was like, I'm happy to see you. Great. A Amy
is.
Sedaris is in it. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's right. I
Who
forgot about
knew?
that. Yeah, no, it is an interesting film as far as the awards race. I have no clue really what to do with it for picture. I could see it getting in, but I think it's going to be one of those fringe players. I would certainly say it's, top 15 to 20-ish at least right now.
Yeah.
So it's in the discussion. What I do think is possible is the screenplay. And Will Arnett co-wrote that, so that'd be kind of I'm sure he'll.
Did
I'm sure he
Bradley
has
write
lots
it
of friends in the
too?
industry. He's
I
awesome.
think so.
No, it was John Bishop and Mark Chappelle that co-wrote it with him.
That'll be so funny
But
if that's
yeah, Brad.
the
I know,
Oscar.
right.
Yeah, is that what you just
It's
said? That would be really funny. Yeah.
yeah. That's
Yeah.
that's. I have it in my five, and I'm going to keep it there after that. Or at least I had it in my five last. I remember. So yeah, I think that has a very good chance. Maybe not very good chance, but a good chance of getting a nomination. The rest of it, I mean, I could, if they love it the way I did, I could see it getting in for picture. I could see Laura Dern maybe for actress. She, I think they said she's lead, is what they're
Yeah.
pushing her, if I remember correctly. And hell, I could see Bradley Cooper supporting because he's got a small but funny and anything's
Is it
possible,
like
I guess.
Licorice Pizza level? Was he nominated for that one? I feel like he was,
No,
right? Yeah.
he wasn't. He wasn't nominated, but he was great in that as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. Scene stealing, not in it much, but when he is,
The
he makes
audience
you laugh.
loved when he popped up. Okay.
Yeah.
Because he plays an actor in the movie, and some of the stuff, like, I can see actors really liking what he
Yeah.
does. And it comes, he has, I was wondering that as we were watching, and I was like, I'm not sure if he has enough to do, but then he has some really good stuff at the end. I don't know. I was really, and I think that was a movie that a lot of people were like, I really liked that. Like, when everyone was walking out, everyone was like, what do we do with this movie? And it's just, I could see it getting in for Best Picture, especially because it's not a movie we've heard about all year.
No.
It's sort of a surprise, feels like a fresh breath of fresh air. And I think it'll play. I think it'll play with actors. And Will Arnett is so good. He's so good in it.
He's
Yeah,
gonna be
he
a
is really
dad. I'm really excited.
good.
One of my dream men. I love Will Arnett. I've loved him since Arrested
Yeah,
Development.
for sure.
Also love
For
his
sure.
air guitar rendition of the Law and Order theme. That was like one of the things I first loved him for.
Andy's great with the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercials.
My God. Yes, he's got that
Right? I
great
like him
voice.
so.
I've loved
What
him
about like
forever.
a deep voice off with Alec Baldwin in
Right? Oh
30
my
Rock?
God. It is
Yes.
so
Well, they
deep.
did that on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
Second
This
thing.
should be. I could see this being a big player with the Golden Globes. I think this is where that's
Yeah.
where it'll probably have its best shot is with the comedy musical section. That's where I could see Arnett getting recognition and probably Laura Dern as well. So then Joey left me all alone, and
What if I just exited the podcast with like
right,
goodbye? I just got off the call.
Joey became one of the many ghosts of Middleburg at that point. And
Sitting on
I
the
went on to
wall that I
see
wanted to apparently destroy.
I went on to see Hikari, I believe it's the director's Rental Family. And I can see why people like it. It's sweet. It's very yeah, it's a very sweet film, and Brendan Fraser's very, gentle in it. And it just made me roll my eyes a lot. It just felt very kind of forced and manufactured emotions. And again, I think Joey likes it. I'm not sure if you guys have seen it, but no. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it too.
Joey's a fan though. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
So
I'm not, I don't know necessarily if I would consider myself a fan. I did
okay.
not want to see it. And I thought to
Yeah.
myself, because I think I was a little being a little shocking, being a little bitch, because they asked if I wanted a press ticket. I said yes. The press ticket never came. So I have to go do a critic screening now. Oh, woe is me. I have to go to a P&I screening. I could have gone to something else, but I wanted to see it. And I went very reluctantly. I saw Dana from Middleburg Film Festival in line at TIFF to see it too. And
That's awesome.
I think because my expectations were not, there was like 6 feet under with 50 feet of crap on top of it. It didn't, I found it a lot gentler than some other people did.
No, it's a very gentle, sweet film. And I was watching the audience while it was playing, and I could tell they were eating it up. And I remember when I tweeted my reaction to it, I said something about I would not be surprised if this takes the Spielberg Audience Award, and lo and behold, we find out
Oh, look, you were
one
right.
day, yeah, it tied. This is the film that tied Hamnet. Hamnet is collecting awards, audience awards, all over. It got Mill Valley, I think it's called, Mill Valley Film Festival. It won Toronto. Now it won Middleburg. It also was Michael Patterson's. He does the Telluride Critics Poll, and this Hamnet won there as well, and had like a top 10 all-time rating. I saw number 7 maybe on the all-time rating list for the critics. So yeah, it's that one's collecting. So this was a little nice little boost, I think, for Rental Family. And I think this was one of the ones that people thought could win TIFF. I think it did it world premiere there, Joey? I
Yeah,
think
I
it
think
world
so.
premiere. Yeah. So I think a lot of us thought going into Toronto that could be the type of film. And it is that type of film. It's the type of film that's going to move audiences, and my mom would love it for sure. So I just kind of was I wouldn't even say lukewarm. I was thumbs down. And then I ended. That was and actually the I will say this: the Middleburg programmers believed in that film enough. They made it their closing night film. So, and we discovered it's not, that doesn't mean it's the last film. It just means it's the last film to have its first run, right? Because the film I saw next, Wake Up Dead Man, the Knives Out mystery, the third film, that had played on another day. So it wasn't the closing film. But that was really good. You guys saw that in Toronto, I think, right?
I
No?
did.
Joey did. Okay. I
Just
did
me.
Megan, did you not go to, I thought you went to Toronto, right?
No, I don't go to Toronto. Well,
Oh.
I have been there, but I did not go this year. But
Okay,
I, yeah.
I thought somebody else went to Toronto. Sorry, I keep referencing that, and it's really just Joey. Okay.
Just Joey.
Well, it's really good. If you like the Knives Out films and murder mysteries, you're gonna like this one as well. It's really good. The music was terrific. What was, do you remember the guy's name that you were sitting next
It's
to?
Nathan
I
Johnston.
forget. Okay, yeah. I
Thank
thought it was
God.
terrific. It was a lot more in line with I think the first
Was right.
film. The second film kind of does this non-linear story that
Yeah, I didn't like the second one as much,
yeah,
but
I
the
don't
first one
either.
I really liked, but the second
I
one was kind
love,
of convoluted.
yeah, I'm the
Yeah.
same way. That's exactly the word I use. Which these all three of these films are really a little convoluted, but they're fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, the second one was just a little over the top.
Yeah.
But this, I think if you like the first one, you're gonna like this one. I think it's more in line with that, and it's got an incredible cast. I'd say Glenn Close and Josh O'Connor were the two
Yeah.
standouts, but
That seems to be
Josh,
the main consensus.
is it? Yeah,
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner, Josh Brolin, Andrew Scott. It's got a huge kick. Hayley Spaney. I never say her name right, so sorry
Haley
about that.
Fanny. Yeah.
Hayley
Oh, I didn't
Spaney.
realize she
Okay.
was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm forgetting some people, I'm sure, but it's a great cast. Good film.
Yeah.
And that
Nice.
was a wrap.
And
So it
Mark is
sounds like
not
you guys
murdering
had
another
a.
ghost.
Sorry.
I said, I'm sorry. I'm just keep going with this stupid theme. I was like, and Mark was not murdered by the ghost.
Right. Then I spent the night by myself in an Airbnb in the middle of the woods, all by myself in the
That we
dark.
got locked out of stupidly by
I
accident
know.
one
Yeah.
time.
How are we supposed to
Learned
know, right? It
our
was a
lesson.
tough, it was a tough code.
All right, so wrapping on Middleburg, kicking off with SCAD, Savannah Film Festival. Megan, what are you doing as far as your engagement with SCAD?
Sure, I'll keep this pretty quick. I leave Monday. Looks like I'm moderating Splitsville, that comedy, which is really funny. I just watched it yesterday. I'm also excited to see The Testament of Anne Lee.
Nice. That's
What
awesome.
else? The Knives Out movie closes out the festival. Rental Family is there too. I think Brendan Fraser is there. Joel Edgerton is there. Will Arnett is
All
there.
good.
Like there are a ton of people there, and of course, my goddess J-Lo is there.
Wow.
I'm very excited to
That's
see J-Lo. Hopefully,
awesome.
just to be
Can
in
you
the
hand
scene.
her a glass of champagne and see if she does that spinning thing?
Ah, yes. Oh my God, I would love to see her do that. I was gonna say, could she throw it in my face? Because I would also enjoy that. Just be like, just throw it in my face, J-Lo. Go ahead. But that is what I like rearranged my schedule for when I found out that she was coming. It's like I've got to be there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, doing red carpet stuff. I'm excited. We have a podcast where we previewed the film festival. I was joined by Tarsha Bush and Victoria Davis, who are two journalists who will be on the red carpet with me. And so yeah, I'm really excited for it.
Excellent.
How many
I
times have you
will.
covered that now? How many times have you
How many
covered
times?
Savannah? You've been there a lot, haven't you?
I think 2019, 2020, they didn't have it. 2021, 22, 23, 24. So this is my 6th year that I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But
Nice.
very excited.
All right, let's jump to the flash forward to the media you are most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Mark, what are you looking forward to doing this week?
Question. Don't know, honestly. Too tired to think what the hell comes out this weekend. I might see one battle after another a second time now that I've seen Sinners twice, Hamnet twice. I do need to give that one another try. So I'll say that.
You can get a free ticket from Critics' Choice. Did you get that
Yeah.
email?
I know. I saw that. I saw that. It's cool.
Megan.
So I'm continuing to watch The Chair Company. I've got some screeners. I'm trying to watch all of the docs that Scott Feinberg covers at SCAD. So I've seen Apocalypse in the Tropics so far, which is available on Netflix, which is very disturbing. I feel like I need to see Petra Costa's first documentary, The Edge of Democracy, which is also about Brazil, but I haven't seen that one.
That's good.
It's very disheartening, all of it, and also mirroring what we're living through. I also am going to be on the Female Gaze, the Film Club podcast with Morgan Roberts, and we're going to be watching Somewhere, my favorite Sofia Coppola movie. So I'm really, which I think is so funny that that's my favorite. Like this female-centric like director who has worked with Kirsten Dunst, Nicole Kidman, Scarlett Johansson, and I picked the one with Stephen Dorff, but that is my favorite. But so I'm really, I gotta watch that this week to prepare for that, and then that's about it pretty much.
Joey?
I figured out
Yes.
what mine is. Sorry, I wasn't ready. We haven't heard back from them yet, but I know we will. Joey and I met the producers of the Cycle of Love documentary, which played at Middleburg. When we were going to see, it was just an accident. The crowd was coming out from that documentary, and everybody was like screaming from the rooftops about it. It went
Like
on to win
literally.
the fest. Literally screaming. It went on to win Middleburg's documentary feature. So they're sending Joey and I a link, and we can ask if we can send it to you guys as well if you want. But it looks really, I was watching the trailer, it looks really good. It's kind of a romance documentary. It's really cool.
Nice. Joey?
A movie that I think Mark and I were both going to see after Train Dreams, but I feel like we were sort of luxuriating in Train Dreams so much that it also would have been our fourth, I think, movie of the
Oh,
day. At least Mark's fourth movie of the
yeah.
day was The
Yeah.
Mastermind, Kelly Reichardt's new film that I think played at least TIFF, maybe played Telluride too.
It was a Telluride.
It
Yeah,
was okay.
Telluride. Yeah.
So I was a little bummed, but then I realized it comes out this week. So I was like, I'll just go and see it there. But
Sure.
also, I have to say there's a zombie gay drag queen movie that is coming out called Queens of the Dead. It is directed by George Romero's daughter, Tina.
Oh, wow.
I reviewed it. It is so gay and so stupid. It is so stupid, in like the best way. I reviewed it a couple months ago when it played a festival, and I interviewed Tina and the director Natalie Metzger. I'm gonna plug those. I'm gonna repost them this week when the movie comes out. So yeah, those are probably the two that I'm most looking forward to. And all the screeners that are barreling towards us, I have to get ahead of them. So I'm gonna try to get through some of those docs. Clearance.
I am probably going to start. I finished Monster, the Ed Gein story, and I am probably going to start Devil in Disguise, John Wayne Gacy, which is on Peacock and has premiered a couple of days ago, which I'm done last week. Because this one has gotten, I didn't realize that the reviews for Monster had shrunk down into the teens on Rotten Tomatoes, but this one, the
Oh
last I
shit, really?
checked, yeah. I think a lot of
Wow.
that is people refusing to engage with the content, but also I think some of it is really not very good. But last I checked, and I'm going to check it right now, Devil in Disguise had 100, has a 93. So it dropped a bit, but that's still,
Very good.
yes. So I'm interested in seeing how those are different. So check that out. All right, and that did I cover it?
Yeah,
All
think
right,
so.
let's get the hell out
Yeah.
of here. So we are the 3Ms,
That's
contending
right.
co-founders, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, plus Special M, Mark Johnson. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on your favorite podcast app or here on YouTube, and wishing you a fair and the cast of J. Kelly, and wishing
That's
you
Jay
a
Kelly.
very pleasant tomorrow.